Hey everybody, it's Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I want to welcome you this week to our midweek video. And I was not able to make a video last week, just scheduling and circumstances and such just would not allow it. So I'm glad to be back with you here this morning. I want to welcome you to our YouTube channel here, Grace Life Bible on YouTube. If you haven't already done so, if you would consider subscribing and ringing the alarm bell here so that you can stay current with our ministry when we create content here midweek, as well as when we go live from our assembly building on Sunday morning. We're really glad that you've joined us for this video. Our featured book from now until Easter is my book, Don't Pass Over Easter, A New Defense of Easter in Acts 12:4. This is the time of year, obviously, when the topic of Easter comes up a lot, and particularly among defenders of the King James Bible, this is often brought up as a, quote, error in the King James Bible. I don't believe it's an error, but I have a different take than some on this particular reading in Acts 12:4. So please, if you haven't already done so, consider picking up a copy of Don't Pass Over Easter, A New Defense of Easter in Acts 12:4. I think you'll be interested in reading what I have to say about that. Also want to remind you about our Rumble channel. If you're into alt-text sites, we've established this Rumble channel in 2021 as an alternative to YouTube should something happen to our YouTube ministry. And we are up to 191 subscribers, so we appreciate all of you who have subscribed here to us on Rumble as we continue to just provide options should something happen to us here on YouTube. So what do I want to talk about this morning? This morning what I want to talk about is an issue related to the words you and ye in the King James Bible. And this came up, this particular issue came up in my studies, in my class, my adult Sunday school class from This Generation Forever on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., live streams here on this channel, YouTube, Facebook, and then also on our church's homepage now through our website. You can get the live stream right here. You can pick it up Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and then at 10:40, 10:45-ish right here on our church's page, gracelifebiblechurch.com. But anyhow, this issue about you and ye came up a few weeks back when I was doing research for my class. And those of you who have been following that class or following this channel here of late, you know that I've been going through the primary source documents left to us by the King James translators, these work-in-progress documents that give us a view behind the process into the mind of the translators and the choices and the decisions that they were making in real time. We've been talking a lot about here in the last 5 or 6 weeks in my class about Manuscript 98. Manuscript 98 was a document created by the Second Westminster Company that worked on the New Testament epistles, Romans through Jude, where they produced this document roughly halfway through the process of transforming the 1602 Bishop's Bible into what would become the 1611 King James. This document, you can see it right here. This is the insignia of Lambeth Palace Library. And it starts here with Romans. This is Paul's letter to the Romans here. And this is the first chapter. So the Epistle of Paul, of St. Paul to the Romans, the first chapter, Lambeth Palace Library. This document is a midway point. This is like a dipstick. You can stick something in the water there to see where they're at halfway through their process. Then you can compare it against the end product of 1611 as well as the starting point of a 1602 Bishop's Bible, and you can track the changes through there. And so that's what we've been doing in here in the last number of weeks. Well, one of the things I noticed here that came up is some interesting things about the pronouns you and ye in the printed history of the King James text. Okay. Now, obviously, defenders of the King James, myself included, have made a very big deal over the years about how the word ye is, while it may be an older form, is more precise in identifying to the reader the fact that the second person plural pronoun is in view with the word ye. And so myself and many defenders of the AV have said that this is an advantage, that the older forms of the pronouns, the thee, the thou, etc., ye, and so forth, are a benefit and an argument for why the King James should be retained over and against modern versions. And let me be clear, I still think that. I still think that the older form Yi is preferable in the sense of accuracy in identifying the use of the second person plural pronoun. However, there are some things about this that have come up in my research that I want to share with the audience, okay? So when this first came up is with this example right here in Colossians 2:12, okay? So the 1602 bishops is the base text. Rule one given to the translators is that the bishop, the text of the bishop's Bible should be as little altered as the truth of the original will allow. So we can start always with the 1602 as the base text. Here we see a 1602 bishop's Bible with the handwritten notations of the translators in the margin, as they are literally conforming the 1602 bishops into what would become the King James. So there is no doubt that they started, that they followed rule one to follow the bishops, to use the bishops as the base text with a high degree of fidelity. There's no doubt that that's what happened. So we look at 1602 bishops for Colossians 2:12. This is where this first came up. It says, buried with him in baptism, in whom ye are also risen again through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Now, manuscript 98 leaves it blank. So when manuscript 98 leaves something blank, we can see that right here. If we look at verse 2, this is Romans 1:2. You can see there's a blank left in manuscript 98. When manuscript 98 leaves something blank, that signifies the intention of the translators to carry the 1602 bishops forward without revision. So in other words, they were accepting it without revision. However, in manuscript 98, that verse, Colossians 2:12, is marked with a Q for query. In other words, somebody thought they needed to look at it again. So when we compare the starting point of the 1602 bishops with a 1611, here's what we see. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. So let's make sure we understand what's going on here. The 1602 bishops had ye. Manuscript 98 left it blank. It was marked with a Q for query to check this verse again. And then we see that the 1611 says you. So they changed the ye from the 1602 bishops to a you in the 1611. This was their choice. They made this choice themselves. This is an instance where the base text had ye, and they decide to change it to you in the 1611, all right? Now, eventually, at some point, this is switched back to ye. Now, we don't know necessarily who did this. In fact, if we look here, the earliest example of this change being made back to ye is from a 1748 printing of the King James. So we can click that and come in here and look at this, and I can show you that here it is. Wherein also ye are risen with him, when the translators originally intended that to say you. So you was their choice. That is the choice that they made there in this particular reading. All right. So that is the example that first brought this to my attention. All right. Then it came up again in Romans chapter 1, verse 11. So let's look at Romans chapter 1, verse 11 as another example. All right. So here we have the 1602 bishops. For I long to see you, that I might bestow among you some spiritual gift, that ye might be established. All right. Now let's just confirm that that's exactly what the 1602 had. Here it is again. This is the 1602 bishops on the screen in front of you. For I long to see you, that I might bestow among you some spiritual gift, that ye might be established. So that is the exact same reading that we have here in this column. Notice it said ye. Then we come to manuscript 98. For I long to see you, that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. So manuscript 98 intentionally changes in its revisions the ye from the 1602 bishops to the you. Now we can also look at that, just so no one's taking my word for it. We can jump on here to the Lambeth Palace Library website, and we can look at Romans chapter 1, verse 11, and we could see right here, for I long to see you, and here's the parting question, to the end that you may be established. There's the you in question here. So we could see that the translators switched a ye to a you. And we could further see that that was carried forward into the AV. The 1611 reads here, to the end you may be established. So the translators here are intentionally changing through two choices, once in manuscript 98 and the second time in the AV, that this should, that they want this to say you, not ye. And we could also jump on here and just confirm that as well. Here we have the 1611 King James. Here's the part in question, to the end you may be established. So there it is twice. We could look at, so what up for this example, I've showed you a 1602 Bishops. I've showed you manuscript 98 that has their intended choice, and I've showed you the 1611, all of which say, we see it, we start with ye, we move to you, we move to you. Now, we, if you look this up in a standard 1769 printing of the King James, you're going to see that it's, that it has been switched back to ye. So somebody later on made the change to switch that back to a ye, when the translators, clearly judging from the evidence, wanted that to say you, all right? And we can scroll down here. We could see that standard 1769 text, ye may be, that it was changed in 1762. And this is documented here, folks, by Lawrence Vance. If you're not aware of it, Lawrence Vance is currently in a multi-year project writing a book called The Text of the King James Bible. And he is releasing this book in serial form. So if you buy each chapter from him as he finishes it, he will send you a free copy of the book in its entirety when it's finally published, when he's done with the project. But this is chapter 3 of The Text of the King James Bible by Lawrence Vance. He has page after page after page of tables looking at different changes in the edition, different word changes in the editions of the King James Bible, okay? Now, Vance records that this change happens here in Romans chapter 1, verse 11 in 1762. Now, I can confirm that I have digital copies of a 1629 and a 1638. And in a 1629 and a 1638, these readings here in Romans 1 still all say you, not ye. Okay. Now, what does that mean? That means Paris and Blaney, Paris being the editor of the 1762, Blaney being the editor of the 1769, well after the translators had passed away, were making editorial changes here in the use of you and ye to the text, so that when anyone reads a standard 1769 text, I have here at Oxford Schofield, whether you're reading an Oxford Schofield or you're reading a Cambridge or whatever it is that you're reading, you are reading an edited text. Later editors changed you to ye. Okay. Now, this may be an inconvenient truth for some folks, but it is a truth nonetheless. Now, for me, this does not, it was a little bit unsettling to me from the standpoint of it does not jive with the standard talking points in the pro-King James space, that the only changes between 1611 and 1769 are spelling, punctuation, and printer errors. These changes from you to ye are not printer errors. They're not spelling changes. They're not obviously punctuation. They're stylistic changes that later editors are making to the text. And what I've learned is that in 1611, the language was already in flux between how to use the pronouns you and ye. Now, for me and my position, this does not bother me at all because you and ye are both second person plural pronouns, and I don't think that it substantively alters the doctrinal content of the text. However, for those who adopt a verbatim identicality, jot and tittle standard here, that everything has to be exactly precisely so, I'm not sure that position, that rigid position, doesn't encounter a problem here when we look at this, okay? So So these changes are not being made by the translators themselves. They're being made well after the translators have passed on and gone to be with the Lord, so to speak. Okay. And to make things sort of a little bit more interesting here, this is not a, this happens a lot in the printed history of the text. So in Paul's epistles alone, there are 42 verses where more recent printings of the AV, such as the 1762 and or the 1769, read ye, where the 1611 originally read you, and I'm saying see pages 196 through 198 in advance. So what we're looking at here in these statistics is just in Paul's epistles alone. So there are 42 instances where the translators, by looking at manuscript 98, by looking at a 1602 Bishop's Bible, let's find that, 1602 Bishop's Bible, and by looking at a 1611, where we can see that the translators intended the text to say you. That was their choice. They chose it to say you, in many cases even making a revision of this base text of the 1602 Bishops, like I just showed you here in the Romans chapter 111 example. Okay, so there are 42 places in Paul's epistles alone where this happens. So furthermore, in all 42 cases, there is evidence, as I just said, when comparing manuscript 98 against a 1602 Bishops and a 1611 AV, that the choice of you was the intentional choice of the translators. In many of these 42 cases, the 1602 Bishops read ye in instances where the translators amended the text to read you in manuscript 98 and or the AV. On other occasions, the AV moved the Bishop's text you in manuscript 98 and or, in instances where the translators amended the text to read you in manuscript 98 and or the AV. On other occasions, the AV moved the bishop's reading of you forward into manuscript 98 and the 1611 without alteration. In either case, the outcome is the same. The King James translators chose you as the correct reading. So they wanted it to read you, not ye. Now, here's a list of all the 42 places, okay? Now, I'm going to leave a link to this document in the description for this video so that folks can grab this list and study this for themselves and confirm what I'm saying here, okay? So how should we view these 42 verses in the face of the evidence furnished by manuscript 98? Were they all printer errors or were they later editorial changes? Well, inconvenient for some, the following fact is inescapable. Readers of the standard 1769 text in the 21st century are not reading the original translational choices of the translators in at least 42 verses in Paul's epistles. Okay, there's at least 42 places where later editors in 1762 and 1769 have changed the you choice of the translators to a ye. And everyone is reading this when they read, no matter what edition they have of a standard text. Now, again, I don't think this is a substantive problem of the doctrinal content of these verses, because the translators are using you and ye, and they seem to be doing so interchangeably. Another example for you to look up might be, just an easy one, might be Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2. I'll read it to you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2. Verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you. Well, that's the standard reading in 1769, and it says you, clearly referring to the plural in the previous verse. So both you and ye can be plural. My point is just this idea then. So this, of course, is an irksome subject for some because it stands in direct opposition to standard King James only talking points. It is commonly repeated by King James advocates that the only difference between a 1611 and a 1769 edition are spelling, punctuation, and the correction of printer errors. Folks, that does not appear to be the case. In fact, if you get Vance's work, and I would encourage you to do this, you should check all the occurrences. So I've done this. Throughout the entirety of the Bible, so this would be Genesis through Revelation, minus the Apocrypha, we're not talking about the Apocryphal books here, minus the Apocrypha, from Genesis through Revelation, minus the Apocrypha, 196 times a ye, a you has been switched to a ye. by later editors of the text. Six times we have the opposite, where a you has been switched to a ye. So this is an interesting topic, and it accents a point that I've been wrestling with for quite a while, and that is this. We are all of us who are King James advocates, who are reading and defending the King James, we are reading a text that to some degree has been edited, and not necessarily by the translators themselves, and we need to acknowledge and accept this point, okay? This is a factual point. This is documentable. I've showed you two examples here in this video. There's 42 times this occurs in Paul's epistles alone, and and 196 total times in Genesis through Revelation. So my purpose in making this video is to implore accuracy in the enunciation of our position, is to implore. Now, this does not mean that we should lay aside the traditional text in the AV in favor of a critical text in modern version. What it means is we need to be accurate in what we say and how we defend the King James. And that is my primary concern, frankly, in much of what I've been talking about here of late. So I just share that with you, interested in what you might have to say. If you have a comment or a question, please try to keep it constructive. If you would, leave a comment or question under this video. If you would like and share this video, that would be helpful to get the word out on some of the things that we're sort of trying to work our way through and digest here on this channel. We appreciate you tuning in. I'd like to remind everybody about my featured book, From Now Till Easter, Don't Pass Over Easter, A New Defense of Easter in Acts 12:4. If you have not picked up a copy of this, I would encourage you to do it. It's a great resource and will challenge your thinking. I'm pretty sure about that. Want to remind everybody about a couple things before I sign off on this video. Number one, we are continuing every week on this channel to rebroadcast the Grace History Project. Our schedule is Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. We are re-releasing or rebroadcasting, and we've created this playlist. You'll find this in the description for this video. We are up to, by the end of this week, 56 videos, and we're knee-deep right now in a discussion of Darby and his dispensational system. So if you're interested in the history of dispensationalism or in those kinds of concepts, please consider checking this out. Also want to remind you about From This Generation Forever class that airs every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. live here on YouTube, Facebook, and the church's website. And last Sunday, this past Sunday, we wrapped up a discussion of Manuscript 98. And so I've created this playlist here, Manuscript 98, Lambeth Palace Library, King James Bible Primary Work in Progress Documents. This particular playlist is devoted to just all the resources and videos that we've created just on Manuscript 98. I'll leave a link to this in the description for this video as well. Want to remind you about our podcast that my wife and I have, the Just Grace With Podcast with Brian and Becky Ross. And we have released a new episode, Strongholds, Anxiety, and Peace. So if you haven't done so, if you consider checking out the podcast, we'd appreciate that. Want to remind you about our Bible Reading Challenge for 2022 at Grace Life Bible Church Bible Reading Challenge. We are reading through Paul's epistles every month this year. So here's two videos explaining the challenge, a couple different reading plans, and then a link to where you could pick up a King James Reader's Bible if you are interested in doing so. And this coming Sunday, we're pivoting off of Manuscript 98, and we're going to start talking about the Bodleian Bishop 1602 Bible here, which is another work in progress document recording the handwritten notations of the King James Bibles actually on the pages of this Bible as they revise the 1602 bishops into what would ultimately become the King James Bible. I'm really excited about these studies. It's been great fun to look behind the translation, to get my hands on the primary source documents, to look at what they have to say and how they illuminate the understanding of one's understanding of what happened here with the King James Bible between 1604 and 1611. Appreciate everybody tuning in here. Before you leave, most importantly, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, If you've never relied exclusively in his shed blood for your sin upon the cross, his burial and his resurrection from the dead is the only total complete payment for your sin, you need to do that today before it's everlasting too late. The world's crazy, folks. Things are happening, and they seem to be quickening in their pace, and we're not promised tomorrow. And so we need to be saved. We need to be justified. We need to be made right with God. And the way to do that is to reaching out in faith to a Redeemer who died on the cross for your sin, was buried, and rose again, paid the total price. When you, by faith, trust, and apply the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to your account, you'll receive forgiveness of sins, you'll receive justification, and you'll receive eternal life as a free gift. And you will pass and be taken out from under the kingdom of darkness and be translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Trust Jesus Christ today before it's everlasting too late. Thanks for your attention. Hope you have a good week.